from God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Lord, you are marvelous, your glory is so wonderful to me. Oh, what a great God you are. Lord, you are marvelous, your glory is so wonderful to me. Oh, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation, people everywhere, stand and declare,
He's a mighty God,
a mighty God. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation, people everywhere, stand and declare, He's a mighty God. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Can we take a few moments, lift our hands, lift our voices. Thank you. God, you are mighty to save. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your precious name. How wonderful you are, Jesus. Your arm is not short that it cannot save. Neither is your ear heavy that it cannot hear. You are a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's a mighty God. He's mighty to deliver from any addiction. He's mighty, the Bible says, to save to the uttermost. No matter how big the problem is, I serve a God who's bigger. He's greater. He's able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for a few needs. There are many who are not here. Some reason of the weather, others sickness. Sister Robin Atkins is not feeling well. She texted me earlier before church, said she would not be here tonight. Brother and Sister Fredrickson are both under the weather, ill. I know Sister Christina Sierra, I know she's not feeling well either. A lot of sickness going around, but we serve a God who's able to heal and restore and raise up. I know there are others that are traveling and on vacation. We ask the Lord to be travel of mercies be upon them. But let's just take a few moments, and it's always proper if there are those who would like to be anointed and prayed for as we go to the Lord in corporate prayer. We encourage you to come forward. We'd anoint and pray for you, as the Bible says. But let's go before the throne right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power, your help, and your strength, God. What a comfort it is to know, God, that we can place our cares and our concerns in your hand and know, Lord, that you have the power, God, to work and move in every situation and every circumstance. We cry out unto you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, Jesus. We lift up your precious name. We glorify you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, if you'd be so kind to grab your Bible. I do want to say, Friday evening, family had the honor and privilege of having Brother and Sister White over at our house for dinner. Many of you know that they have moved to Mississippi. We understand the reasons for doing so, and they have our full support. But I do have their address where they're living now in Mississippi. We wanted them to be here for another service so that we could give them a proper send off. But with the weather being what it is, they decided they wanted to get on the road yesterday, and so we will see them every now and then. They promised they would come back and visit, but it is I don't know about you, but. The Whites, when they came, man, they stepped right in and were just such a wonderful, wonderful couple. And I told them last night, you're going to be greatly missed. I understand why you're doing it. It's difficult enough for a younger man like myself to live in these parts and deal with these conditions. And so I understand why they're going south and moving to a little warmer weather. He's got family in the area there in New Albany, Mississippi, and so this is something that's been in the works for a while, and they have decided to make that move. And so if you would like to get in touch with them, we do have address, phone number, ways that you can do so. But we just pray God's blessing upon them and their relocation there to Mississippi. Psalms chapter number 40. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I feel like the psalmist, because I get discouraged or a little perplexed, or there's anxiety in my life. And been many times in my life where I have opened the Bible to the book of Psalms and begin to read, and from the book of Psalms receive such encouragement, strength. I love the book of Psalms. It's written by numerous authors, but many of the psalms have to do with crying out unto the Lord. And this is one of those psalms, and I want to look at it maybe in a little different manner tonight. Psalms chapter number 40, begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 5. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And here's the song. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. What expectation does. What expectation does. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. So thankful to be in your house this evening, God. Lord, I thank you for those that have braved the weather and come out to be in your house, Lord, to lift you up and magnify your name. Lord, I pray that your word would encourage, would uplift, would strengthen those, God, maybe down in spirit, Lord, that we would know that we can turn to you in our time of trouble, Lord, that you are there. God, your word says you are a very present help in time of trouble, and we cry out unto you when you hear us, Lord. Let us do so with expectation in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, that we would look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith and captain of our salvation. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, Jesus. All that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every other name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. What expectation does. Psalmist begins with the words, I waited. I looked that up. I looked that phrase up, and I began to do a cross-reference study on the words there and just what they meant. And as I began to dig into that two-word phrase there in Psalms 40, I waited, I came to understand that that means to expect, to tarry with anticipation, to figuratively bind or twist together faith and hope, looking forward to what is coming. I have said it many times and I continue to say it. We need to have great expectation when it comes to the Lord. We need to, in our heart and in our minds, believe for bigger and better and greater. We often limit what God can do in our own mind and in our own perception because our expectation is so much less than what it should be. The psalmist says, I waited for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. You see, many times we pray about something and there's expectation to begin with, but before long it may not happen, and so it begins to wane, and before long the faith and hope begin to unravel and we don't believe like we used to believe. And I would submit this evening that if we come to understand what it means to wait with expectation, but do so patiently, understanding that God will answer, that God will turn to us in our time of need. I waited patiently for the Lord. The Bible says that he inclined unto me. In other words, I looked that up. He turned towards me. I got his attention. I waited patiently upon the Lord. There was expectation in my heart and in my life. You need to understand what expectation does is it gets the attention of God. It causes God to notice. The Bible tells us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. We need to understand it's something that expectation does is it gets the attention of God. And if I can come before him with some expectation in my heart, there can be some anticipation in my spirit. I can bind together some faith and hope and believe for better things. All of a sudden God says, wait a second, there's someone who's got some expectation in their heart. Bible says he inclined unto me. You see, God is looking for those looking to him with expectation. I need and we need, and I'm preaching to myself just like I'm preaching to you. If we come to serve with no more expectation than just to go through the motions, well, guess what? All we'll do is go through the motions. But if we come into the house of God with some expectation in our spirit, something's going to happen tonight. Somebody's going to be healed tonight. Somebody's going to be delivered tonight. Some expectation in our heart. He inclined unto me. You see, one of the things that expectation does is it gets the attention of God. Yes, it does. And the psalmist goes on to say, not only did he incline unto me, not only did I get his attention, but guess what? He heard my cry. He didn't ignore me. My cry was not ignored. You see, we need to understand that expectation enters the ears of God. Expectation causes God to say, wait a second. Not only have they got my attention, but now I'm listening to what they have to say. There's expectation in their spirit. When we come with that type of attitude and that type of expectation in our heart. See, we need to expect that God hears our voice when we cry. We need to expect that I'm not just saying vain words and there's not just repetition, but when I begin to cry out unto the Lord, He hears my cry. There's expectation in my spirit. If I'm just going through the emotions, guess what? It's quite possible that I ask amiss. But if I come with expectation in my heart and I believe, wait a second, His ear is inclined unto me. He's turned unto me. He's hearing my cry. Part of the faith is to believe that when I pray, God hears. When I cry out, He doesn't ignore me. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And when I cry out unto God, there's an expectation that it does not fall upon deaf ears. There is an expectation that Lord God of heaven and earth, Almighty, who has all power, He's listening. Expectation says He hears my cry. Not only does expectation cause to get His attention, not only does He allow Him to hear my cry, but the Bible says not only does it do those things, but expectation says God will make a way out of no way. Expectation says even though I'm in a horrible pit, I have a God who's powerful enough to reach down into my situation and lift me up out of a horrible pit. Expectation says my problem is not too big for my God. My situation and my circumstance is not too dire for Him. He's able. Expectation says He brought me out, also out of a horrible pit. You see, not only will expectation get God's attention, not only will expectation cause God to hear my cry, expectation will have God reaching into my situation and pulling me out of the pit. Psalmist said, I waited patiently on the Lord. It was expectation in my spirit, and He inclined unto me. It may not happen tonight. It may not happen tomorrow. But if I remain with expectation in my heart, I can believe and I can rest assured. Before long, He's going to turn unto me, and He's going to hear my cry, and He's not going to leave me where I am. Not going to leave me in that situation, in that circumstance, but He'll bring me up also out of a horrible pit. And then it says this, out of the miry clay. One translation says this, out of the slimy clay. You see, He doesn't just pull me out of the pit, He keeps me from slipping back in. He doesn't just pull me out of the pit and leave me hanging on the precipice. He doesn't just pull me out of the pit and leave me there on the edge. Expectation says not only is He going to reach down in my situation and pull me out of it. Expectation says He's going to keep me from falling back into it. He's going to keep me from slipping again. He's going to keep me from going back and turning back to those things. Expectation says my God's able not only to deliver me out, but to keep me from going back in. Let me just be real for a minute. There's a lot of time where our expectation is to mess up again. Our expectation is to fall and to fail again. Our expectation is, well, I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to do it again. Listen, we need to have a different expectation. We need to have an expectation that says God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in me. Not only does expectation incline Him unto me, not only does it get His attention, not only does He hear my cry, not only does He reach down into the horrible pit and pull me out, He takes me from the edge and He keeps me from slipping back in. And then He does this. The psalmist says, He sets me on a rock. Puts a firm foundation under my feet. Not only has He turned to me, not only has He heard my cry, not only has He reached down in the middle of my situation and pulled me out of the pit and kept me back from the edge, the slimy, slippery clay, He's also found
a solid rock for me to stand. He's also given me a firm foundation. There's a lot of things in life that'll keep you slipping. There's a lot of things in life that'll keep you falling back into pit after pit. But there is a firm foundation that you will find in Christ Jesus. That if you allow him to set your feet upon a solid rock to stay, you don't have to worry about slipping anymore. You don't have to worry about going back to the old life and doing the old things. There's an expectation that not only has he pulled me out, I'm not going back in. And what he set me on is something solid, something secure.
No foundation can any man lay that is laid. That is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. There is no more secure place than in the power and presence of Jesus. There is no more secure place than the arms of Almighty God, the everlasting arms of an Almighty Savior. And when you and I have expectation, it says not only is he going to turn to me, not only will he hear my cry, not only will he reach down in the pit and pull me out, not only will he keep me from slipping, he's going to set me on a solid rock. Catch this. He establishes my goings. One translation says he steadied my legs. See, I kind of have a little, for instance, an example, because I've spent some time walking through some mud and some marsh. Yeah, many of you know I love to duck hunt, and so many times to go to the places where the ducks are, you got to walk through some nasty stuff. And I've been in that clay. I've been in that real mucky area. I distinctly remember, and you'll have to excuse my reminiscing for a few moments. I remember my cousin and I, who are both kind of lightweights. We took this man out as a favor one time, and he was a bigger guy, and he didn't walk so well in the mud, and he would go a few steps, and then we'd hear a little help. We'd turn around, he'd be knee deep in the mud, and we'd go back, and he'd put one arm on my shoulder and one arm on my cousin's shoulder, and he'd pull himself up out of the clay, and he'd walk for a little bit more, and we thought he had his feet under him pretty good, so we just kind of tread off a little bit. We'd get about five steps away, little help, turn around here. Back down the mud again. It got kind of comical. We just decided, well, we should probably just walk beside him because we don't have to keep walking back to pick him up. But there was something unusual about it, because after spending a period of time in the muck and the mire, when you finally made it onto solid ground, it felt a little different under your feet. Those that are out on the sea, they call them sea legs. When you get out in the water and it's unstable, and so you learn how to keep your balance. But then when you get back on land, sometimes you're a little bit wobbly because it's different being out in the boat than it is on the lake. A psalmist says he set me on a solid rock. He put me on a firm foundation. But can I be honest and say that there's sometimes that in my walking relationship with God, I feel like Bambi on ice. There's sometimes when I'm not so steady in my walk. There's sometimes when I stumble. There's sometimes when my footing's not so sure. The psalmist said my feet had well nigh slipped. There came a point in time, and if it hasn't happened to you, I promise you it will. That even though in expectation, he's turned unto me and he's heard my cry and he's pulled me out of the pit and he's taken me back from the edge and now he's set me on a solid rock. He doesn't just leave me there. The Bible says he established my goings. He steadied my legs. You see, he knows. My family and I, the other night, we got a bunch of old home movies out, and we began to watch the old home movies, and we had those movies of the kids learning to walk, and how you'd help them with their hands and their little weak, wobbly legs, and they'd take a few steps and then face plant and take a few more steps, but before long, if you stayed with them long enough,
if you spend enough time with them, helping them, before long, they get their balance. You see, we got to be patient with the process. God is patient with us. And though he pulls us out of the pit and he sets us on a solid rock, there's sometimes where we're still a little bit wobbly. There's sometimes where we don't walk always like we should. And we don't have the footing or the sure footing that we feel we should. But guess what? He doesn't abandon us. My expectation is that, guess what? He's going to stay with me even when I'm wobbling. Even when I ain't walking right, he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. He's going to be there to reach out a hand and say, hey, let me help you. Let me steady your feet. Sometimes God uses the people around us. Sometimes God uses our brothers and sisters to help us and to steady us. It was when there was a battle and they looked down and there was it began to change sides, but they looked upon the hill, and as long as Moses had his hands up and as long as Moses was steady, guess what? The people of God won. And Aaron and Hur realized, wait a second, we got to get up there and support Moses. There's sometimes when God uses your brother and God uses your sister, even though you're set on a firm foundation, you get wobbly and your knees get feeble, and you need a brother and you need a sister to support you and say, I'm here for you. I'm going to steady. Sometimes God, through our brothers and sisters, he steadies our legs. He establishes our goings. He helps me, but he doesn't stop there. Not only does expectation get the attention of God, not only does expectation cause him to hear my cry, not only does expectation pull me out of a horrible pit, not only does expectation keep me from the miry clay, not only does expectation set me upon a solid rock, and not only does expectation steady my legs, establish my goings, guess what it also does? It puts a new song in my mouth. I sing differently now. I march to the beat of a different drum now. There's expectation in my heart that there's a new life to be lived for the Lord. There's expectation in my spirit that says today is going to be better than yesterday, and tomorrow's going to be better than today. Why? Because he put a new song in my mouth. And here is the song. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are they wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Catch this. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. See what the psalmist is saying. Not only does expectation cause me to get the attention of God, not only does expectation have him hear my cry, not only does expectation draw me out of a horrible pit, not only does expectation take me out of the miry clay, not only does expectation set me on a solid rock, not only does expectation establish my going and steady my legs, not only does expectation put a new song in my mouth, but guess what? I've come to learn that expectation causes there to be so many more things. I can't even put them in order. I can't even write them all down. I can't even think them all up. Oh, how wonderful are their thoughts to us, word. They are without number. I can't recall them all. I can't recount them all. Because here's the thing. Here's the great thing about our wonderful God. Is it our expectation sets the stage for God to exceed whatever I can expect. See, God does not disappoint. God is in the business of exceeding my expectation. God is in the business. I look over my life. Catch this. And maybe it doesn't mean much to you, but it means something to me. I told my wife, and many of you may not know exactly our history, family history in that sense, but when I married my wife, her mom was a,
a single mom. My mother-in-law, Sister Barbie Abney, was not married. And one of the things that I've always wanted and I've always cherished was to be able to go out on a big piece of property and just fish and shoot guns and have a good time and not worry about anything, just kind of have a good time out in the middle. And little did I know, my wife's mother wasn't dating Craig Abney at the time. They weren't even in a relationship. But little did I know that, year and a half after we were married, her mom, Sister Barbara Abney, and Craig Abney got married. And Craig had a big ranch. He has 28 acres out in Pearson, Florida. And here, over vacation, guess what? I told my wife, I said, little did I know that when I married you, and then not only would I have you, and that's all wonderful in and of itself, but you know what? God's exceeded my expectations. Because I get to run around on a four-wheeler, and I get to chase cows, and I get to just spend some time fishing in a pond on a big piece of land. Why? Because you need to understand that God has a way of exceeding your expectation. And when we understand that He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, and I know it may not mean much to you, but it means something to this old boy, and I'm so thankful that God exceeded my expectations. As long as I can remember, I wanted children. I wanted to be a good father. Now, when we married, we agreed on 4. Quickly went back to 2. We compromised at 3. There are so many times I look into the eyes of my little children and I say, God, You have exceeded my expectation. You have been so good to me. Lord, You are in the business of exceeding my expectation. Because many, oh Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done. And Thy thoughts which are to us were, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You see, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can even expect. So why not just expect more? Why not just believe for more? I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. You see, we limit God sometimes because our expectation level is so low. And God looks down at our prayers. So please understand. And God looked down at our request. And He says, oh, I can do that, but I can do so much more than that. I know you're making a request, but you need to understand. I can exceed your expectations. So when we come to God, we need to start believing. We need to start binding together faith in hope. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He pulled me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set me upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth. But it didn't stop there. Because guess what? God is still exceeding my expectations. And I have no doubt, and I believe whatever we can expect, whatever we can bind together and believe for in 2016, guess what? God's able to exceed those expectations. So why not just expect for more? Pastor, I know I've been praying for a while, and now there needs to be more expectation in my spirit that my loved ones are coming back to God. Yeah, it can happen. Yes, why don't you start believing with some expectation in your spirit? It's going to happen. It's going to be this year. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to bind together with my brothers and sisters, and we're going to believe that God's going to do it. He's going to exceed expectations. I don't know about you, but I've come to know this God that I serve. He has so much power, and He longs to do things for us, to reveal His power to provide.
And while we go about on our own trying to do it, trying to make our own way, he sits back and says, oh, I can so exceed your expectations. Why don't we be like the psalmist? I'm waiting patiently. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm waiting patiently on the Lord. And there's expectation in my spirit, because that expectation will cause him to turn unto me. That expectation will cause him to hear my cry. That expectation will cause him to reach down in the midst of my situation and pull me out of this horrible pit. That expectation, he'll pull me away from the slippery clay, and that expectation will set me upon a solid rock. That expectation will steady my legs, will establish my goings, and that expectation will put a new song in my mouth. And I could sing 24/7 of the wonderful works of God, and I could try to recount and recall all of his thoughts to usward, but guess what? There are so many. He so exceeds expectation. Can I challenge you in the spirit? Stop limiting God with little faith. Believe for bigger and better. Believe. Let expectation begin to rise in your spirit. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In the waning moments of these services, this altar is open for individuals who say, I've got to have more expectation in my spirit. I've got to be like the psalmist. I've got to wait patiently on the Lord with expectation that he's going to turn to me, with expectation that he's going to hear my cry, with expectation. He's pulling me out of this pit, and he's keeping me from the slippery clay, and he set me upon a solid rock. He's steadying my legs. He's putting a new song in my mouth. Yes. So I can sing of his wondrous works. So I can tell others that they would fear, that they would trust in the Lord, that they would turn to God themselves. He even prays unto my God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There's expectation in my spirit. There's expectation in my heart.
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side.
He's there. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake.
You deliver me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. By grace I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love a hope strong.
You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration.
On the Lord, you'll exceed your expectation.
But now I'm alive in you.
For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love great. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you.
Don't become impatient with the process. Just because it doesn't happen in the time frame that you think doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Learn from the psalmist. I waited patiently upon the Lord. Maybe it didn't happen right away. Maybe it took some time. Maybe I had to get to the place where I really allowed him to do what he wants to do. Maybe God allowed me to go through these situations, these circumstances. Maybe God allowed me to find myself in this pit before I turned my eyes upon Jesus, before I turned to him and said, Lord, I need you. The expectation is such that when I finally reach the place where I realize that only he can help. He doesn't ignore me. He never, ever becomes impatient himself. He's long-suffering to us. We're not
willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He stands waiting. When I cry out in expectation, I wait patiently upon the Lord. He inclines unto me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you never leave us in the place where we cry out unto you, but you're always faithful. You always lift us up and out. You put a new song in my mouth. One more time, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Only you, Jesus. My expectation is such that only you can pull me out of this. My expectation is such that only you have the power to do what needs to be done in this situation. Hallelujah. Can you applaud the Lord for His goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you go, why don't you go with some expectation? Some determination to persevere and say, it's going to happen. God is going to do it. I may not know how, I may not know when, but as the song says, He'll do it again. He'll reach down in my situation, He'll pull me out. Ah, thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Be safe as you travel home. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.